Take out your Bible. Turn back to the book of Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, the rest of Jesus. Part 2, but really, honestly, part 4. And as I continue to study more in Hebrews and finding, as it should be, I don't know why I'm surprised, but it really is one message and it all connects. And we'll continue to come back to different themes throughout our study in Hebrews in different ways. And I think that's the point of the writer here, to continue to elevate our thoughts, to elevate our view of Jesus, and to give us good object pictures from the Old Testament and current life to help us see who Jesus is. Now, last week, as we saw, one of the problems as the Israelites, as God was working among the Israelites and bringing them into the Promised Land, was they did not trust God. They didn't have faith. They didn't place their trust in Him. And so they couldn't inherit the blessing. It's impossible to please God without faith, as we saw and will continue to think about as we study the book of Hebrews. They didn't trust God, so they couldn't inherit the Promised Land. Promised Land was a beautiful place, and again, in my mind, reminiscent of the Garden of Eden, a perfect place, a beautiful place for the people of God to go and inhabit. God would provide for them, and God would be with them, and they could relate to Him, but they did not trust God. All they had seen, all that He had done, all the amazing things, all the things that God had provided for them, they didn't trust Him. Seeing is not believing. And so they couldn't inherit the blessing. They couldn't enter into the blessing. And God was angry at their unbelief. And so they died in the wilderness. And really, think about all they gave up. They gave up the Promised Land, the relationship with God, the joy, the peace of it all, for 40 years in the wilderness. And, you know, not really for our purposes much today, but somewhat. Just think about life even as we think about that. How often are we seeking our own desires, seeing things? You know, God has a big picture involved in what He's doing in the world, and we see about this much of it. We focus in on that, and that's the most important thing to us. We kill ourselves our whole life living for that thing. We get the wilderness. God's got the Promised Land waiting for us right there. Wow. They couldn't enter into His rest, because life is about trusting God. It's about getting to know Him, seeing Him work in your life, enjoying Him and His presence, and taking the things that He lets into your life and responding correctly through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God was angry at their unbelief. We're going to see today another part of this message, another part that's critically important as we understand what God was doing through all of these things we've been discussing, that there is a rest in Jesus and only in Jesus. I invite you to read this chapter once again with me, Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Read the entire thing and discuss what he means by the rest that is in Jesus. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua, had given them rest. Then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There therefore remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray together. Continue to think on these things as children of Israel and the rest that awaits for the people of God. Lord, again, we come to these texts, glorious in their scope, amazing and interesting as we dig into them, as we think about all of these things and the history of the children of Israel and how you've worked, and we continue to be stunned by your glory and your goodness as you worked things out. God, help us today, though, as we really seek to make good application as we think about all these chapters together and how they keep pointing us back to Jesus, keep pointing us back to your redemptive work, and keep pointing us back to how you want us to respond to what you have done, how you have made yourself known, and how you have worked. And so I just pray that you'd open our hearts, God, and help us in our weakness and wherever we find ourselves to really be able to connect the dots between what you have done and what you say and how we are to live and think and act in this world. And so we just continue to ask for your Spirit to help because we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. There remains rest. Did you catch that? He says rest 9 times in just a few short verses here. Think about the hope that is in that. There remains another rest. He says, the hope that is there. There's a rest yet for the people of God. And that's what he wants us to think about and is pointing us to today. God is not done with us yet. And you look at verse 7 and 9 with me. He designates a certain day after such a long time, as Ben said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For Joshua had given them rest. He would not have afterward spoken of another day. There remains a rest for the people of God. There's a lot of hope in those verses right there. Hope for you today. Hope. Rest that is found in Jesus Christ. Praise God for how gracious he is. Amen. We think about how the children of Israel responded. And you can even with me, just let your mind go to that. I mean, there were the 12 spies represented by the 12 tribes, and there were the two. The 10 gave a bad report, unbelief. The people agreed. They didn't go in. God said, you're not going to be able to enter my rest. You can't go in the promised land. You're always going astray in your heart. But I'm going to raise up another generation, and they're going to enter my rest. How gracious is God? And even the two, right? He could have lumped them in and said, no, that's, you know, you're just going to have to buck it up with them. Too bad. No, those two that were faithful, Joshua and Caleb, they entered his rest. How gracious is God? There yet remains a rest for the people of God based on God's graciousness. We talked about the rest of the promised land. We talked about the rest of the Sabbath that's mentioned in these passages here. Those two things are intricately tied. They're woven throughout the rest that we are talking about today that is in Jesus. And they're really good pictures. Really much of the book of Hebrews is taking Old Testament pictures. And we'll be talking more about that even as we progress through the book. Old Testament pictures, Old Testament examples, and even just pure types that are pointing us forward to Jesus and to help us see God's redemptive plan and to see how God is working and to point us forward to Jesus. Now, as we are considering the rest, I have some questions as we think about this, okay? First one's kind of an obvious one. What is exactly the rest that he's talking about? What is this other rest? What does he mean by that? You know, I need to find out these kind of what is it questions. And then along with that, how do I enter the rest? How do I get this rest that is waiting for the people of God? I think it's a very important personal question for every one of us. How do I enter the rest or take hold of it or experience God's rest? Any way you choose to think about it today, but really that would be the application type of question. Now, as we think about rest, I'd like us this morning to consider just the idea of rest. Because we live in a world, and again, when I say the world, I generally just mean America, because I don't have that good of a slice of pie to figure out what the rest of the world is doing, but we are in desperate need of rest. And especially here in America, the way of life that we live or that we think we have to live, we are desperately in need of rest. How you doing? Oh, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. We find ourselves in desperate need. Not more leisure in America, right? Not more free time. A lot of times, we're out there having so much free time, we're killing ourselves, right? You go to vacation, what do? When you get back, you sleep for quite a while afterwards, right? You're exhausted. So I'm not talking about more breaks, more time off, more leisure. I remember one time we very foolishly agreed to hear some timeshare thing. And, of course, they spin it like it's something else. Then you get in there and it's not. And they told us, you know, if you lived in France, you know, you'd probably be put in jail. Something like that. Not quite. You don't rest enough. You would lose your health insurance because you don't go on vacation enough. Whoa, okay. You don't even know how to rest. Well, that I can agree with. You don't know how to vacation is what they were saying. We've got that figured out. We've got the leisure thing figured out in America, right? We're trying to seek all of these kinds of things that are to do other than work, to do on our free time. So we've got that. That's not it. Real rest. True rest. Rest from our leisure. Rest from our busyness and our schedules. Rest from our selfish desires and our self-seeking things. Rest from, as we're going to look at today, the emptiness that can be in many of our lives. There is a deep emptiness in the world today. Deep emptiness. Why do people seek so many things to try to get some kind of relief? Striving after things. Finding a career and working yourself to death. Looking for significance. Getting and having all kinds of problems in your relationship because you're not getting out of that relationship the thing that you thought would give you peace and rest. People not thinking what you want them to think of you. There's a deep emptiness that we can find ourselves with, and we find ourselves seeking a way to get this rest in some way, give me some kind of relief. That's the kind of rest that we are in desperate need of today. Career, your sports, activities, hobbies. Many people in our world, in an increasing measure, are turning to all kinds of things to try to give them some kind of relief. Pornography. Just off the charts, going on the rise. All kinds of different sexual immoralities. Give me something that fills me some way. Substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, whatever. I got to have something. Give me something to give me some kind of relief. Make me feel good. We're seeking this rest. We desperately need this rest. But then we're finding ourselves at the end of the day not having it. Why? There remains a different rest, a superior rest, a true rest. It's available. He's talking about here rest from human endeavors. And you can see in verse 10 with me, if you look back, certainly in view is this idea of legalism. And I want you to be very careful with that term this morning. He who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his in verse 10. Be careful with that term, though. And certainly, again, he would have in mind the Pharisees who were masters at this, human endeavors to try to relate to God, to try to somehow get right with God and making up rules and keeping rules. And if I just do these things, then certainly God would have to bless me or God would have to accept me. Be very careful with that term legalism today, because as much as we don't like to come to grips with it, many of us have legalistic tendencies and thinking. And so it's real for us today as much as it was for the Pharisees. And it became in the Jewish community what is called a heavy yoke. No one could bear it. You couldn't, you know, okay, I'm looking for some way to give me some kind of relief. Give me some relief. I want to relate to God. Here, wear this heavy yoke. Right? Oh, that's going to give you a lot of rest, right? That's going to kill you. You'll be exhausted carrying that thing. Acts 15:10. Why do you test God putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Nobody has been able to do this. Why do you keep trying to make the new converts forget the grace of God that they have been saved and that they're hoping in and the rest that they're experiencing, and you're going to put this heavy yoke on them? We desperately need rest. Rest, again, is from this passage, from unbelief, from prideful rejecting of God. In verse chapter 3, 12, he lays that out. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And from 7 through 11 there in that passage, he just talks about how they had hardened their hearts. They saw his works, and he swore in his wrath that they would not enter his rest. You know, that doesn't just say that there so that we can look back through this hourglass of time and look back at the children of Israel and see these amazing things that God did in Egypt and then point our finger at these people and say, how could anyone be that stupid? They saw everything that God did, and really, they're really still going to be in unbelief and reject him? Are you really that stupid? That's not the point. He says, beware there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God and not entering his rest. There's rest in Jesus from these things. 3:18 and 19. Whom did he swear they would not enter his rest? But those who did not obey. So we see they could not enter because of unbelief. So we find ourselves in this world, and our experience can be very often, even as believers, there's definitely areas where we can grow in this. We find ourselves in desperate need of real rest, seeking things to fill us, looking for ways to get some relief for some of the pressures in our life. The beauty of it is that there remains a rest yet for the people of God. And that rest is only in Jesus Christ. Why don't we have the Sabbath like the Jews did? Why isn't Saturday our day? There's a lot of reasons for that. But did you know that Jesus is our Sabbath rest? Jesus is the rest. That's really the point of all of these pictures in the Old Testament. It's to point us to Jesus. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He represents, he's like the promised land, or like Jesus. There remains a rest for the people of God. Now look at Matthew 11 with me. Turn over there with me as we think about this together. And we're going to really try to connect. I want to today, I hope, we can connect the dots to our lives today. And that you will be able to make these things personal as we think about them. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. True rest is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so we find ourselves in this desperate need for rest. We find ourselves in this world of labor. And Jesus tells us very clearly how what this other rest is that we must enter into, this other rest that is future for the people of God, that is Him. He is the rest. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." You ever find yourself feeling like that? You ever find yourself feeling like that? I'm not talking about just physical labor here. You know, have you ever noticed that? Sometimes when you go out and you just work real hard all day, you're physically exhausted, but you're not exhausted like you are other times. Have you ever noticed that? It's a filling thing. It's all right. You need some sleep or whatever, but you're not empty. That's really the rest that he's talking about here. This emptiness of life, the striving and seeking after things that are not Jesus. The promise of rest for the promised land was really God Himself, even in the Old Testament. If you look at Exodus 33, or just listen, Exodus 33:14 says it this way: "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. The rest is a relationship with God. When they went to the promised land, it wasn't that God was just giving them better real estate. He wasn't just upgrading their circumstances. He was going with them. That's the point of the tabernacle. We'll come back to that in a couple months as we look at that from the book of Hebrews. The tabernacle and the priesthood and all those things, the way that they related to God, were just because He was there with them. And this is the rest that they were entering into. And can you not even just in your mind now start to connect the dots here with the problem in the wilderness? Here God is, and He graciously shows them all of these things that He was willing to do for them. He graciously provides for them everything that they need. He graciously leads them out of bondage and slavery, provides the food and the sustenance, and He leads them Himself. And then they get to the edge of the promised land, and they say, "God, you're not enough." That's the issue there. That's the unbelief that was a problem. God wasn't enough for them. And so He swore in His anger, "Okay, you can't have my rest then. You hate me, fine. I won't associate with you. You're not willing to trust me. You're not willing to love me the way that I deserve." God is the rest. Now think about these things with me. Try to connect the dots with your life with me today. True rest in Jesus. In verse 10 of chapter 4, "He who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his work as God ceased from his." True rest in Jesus is to cease from trying to work out your own righteousness on your own. You can't do it. You ever found yourself as a church person? You're a good church person. Everybody around you thinks you're a good person. They look at you, they see you, you look right. But there's turmoil in your soul. Things at home aren't quite what they appear to be when you get there on Sunday. There's difficulty in your life. And it's grieved you, and you've tried harder. I'll try harder. There's no rest there, is there? There's no rest there. Did you know that you're trying to relate to God by your own good works and your merits, and you're trying to get it done? I'll do better. I can do it. How could someone like me do something like that? Right? You ever ask yourself that question? Wow, that's pride. That's legalism. He who has entered this rest has ceased from his works. The point's not that we stop doing good things. The Bible tells us all kinds of good things that we have to do. The point is the reason that we do it and the way that we do it, isn't it? There's a rest that's available in Jesus that is apart from your works of righteousness Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You grow the same way you get into a right relationship with the living God, by His Spirit, by submitting to Him, by loving Him, by saying yes to Him as He works in your life, and letting Him change you by obeying His Word, not by just trying to do better or trying to figure it out or look good on the outside. That'll kill you. That'll kill you. It certainly isn't rest. Rest from our human strivings for significance. Why do we have so much turmoil in our lives? Because I just want to matter in this life. I just want to be somebody. I just want somebody to have a high opinion of me. Oh, in your marriage. How often do these conflicts in our marriage come because I just want my spouse to have this opinion of me? If they would just see what I want them to see. And then we try to do it, right? I try to do these things. All it does is drive them farther away from us. Our goal gets completely washed and we can't reach it. There's no rest there, is there? More turmoil, more conflict, more problems. And we're seeking after this thing and we can't get it. And in Mark 9:33, Jesus says it this way. He came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Yeah. Now think about that. You're disputing about who would be the greatest. Jesus asks you a question, you keep silent. What's that tell you? Oh, yeah, we probably shouldn't have went there. They had that. It was in their heart, though, wasn't it? I want significance. I'm greater than you. I'm better than you. I want you to have this opinion of me. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Your seeking for significance will not get you rest. It's going to cause more and more turmoil in your life. The rest in Jesus is a rest from your striving for significance. You have a relationship with the living God. He sees you as His dear child. It doesn't matter. And you certainly don't want to be exalted by the other people in your life. You want them to have a correct view of you, but not an exalted view of you. You can kill yourself seeking after significance in this world. Rest from the meaningless of life. You know how many people are in our world this morning going through different motions, doing things. I got these tasks to do for the day. I've got this thing. Or maybe they pour themselves into some activity. All their focus and all their energy goes into it. Because the reality is their life is meaningless. Meaningless. And they're empty and they are hurting. Why? What's the point of a meaningless life? How do you get up every day? I talk to people often that say these things. How do you get up every day when life has no point? Wow. Jesus gives us a point of our existence. That's to make much of Him, to glorify Him, to get to know Him, to have this relationship with Him, real rest. He tells us one point in that in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am with you, even to the end of the age. Your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. You have a job to do. You can have eternal significance. Those things go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Your life isn't meaningless. You don't have to pour yourself into these useless and worthless things in this world, trying to somehow make sense out of this existence, because there is meaning in Christ. Purpose has been restored in Jesus. Rest from our selfishness. Jesus provides that. Rest from our self-seeking endeavors, our selfishness, our world having to revolve around me. says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Life is never and has never been about you. Never will be about you. And the more that you vary from God's will and God's plan about making your life about glorifying Him, the more you vary from that, the more you're going to be in turmoil. You will have no rest because you are not built, you are not designed to live for your own self-seeking endeavors. Again, in your family, in your workplace, in your marriage, why do we have turmoil? I'm not that good at math, but I can do this one. One person whose life is all about them, add plus one person whose life is all about them, see what happens. Right? No, life is about me. No, life is about me. No, life is about me. Huh? Doesn't work? Surprise! Right? Of course not. There's no rest in that. But rest in glorifying God, in living for God, to please God. Did you know today that that is what life in Christ is about? It's the normal life in Christ is living for Him, not living for yourself. It's the normal. Boy, look at our world. Talk to people today. That's not the normal. Why is there so much turmoil? Why is there no rest in our world? Why are people seeking after these things? Why are people killing themselves? Why is life empty? Because life is abnormal. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all people, then all died. He died for all, that those who live, those who are redeemed, should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. That's the normal. Do you see that? The normal Christian life is that we live for Him. And then as good, red-blooded Americans, we say, I ain't gonna live for anybody. I'm an American. I want things my way. Where's the beef? Right? Right? Is that not it? There's no rest there. You'll be killing yourself. Turmoil. Pain, emptiness. Live for Jesus. There's rest. It's the right thing. It's the normal. You were made for this. He died for all. We should live for Him. Duh. Right? He's the Redeemer. He is the Creator. He's our God. This is where the rest is. This is where the right life is. Freedom. Freedom to live for our God again. Freedom to please Him. Freedom for to have an eternal significance, an eternal impact. For your life to really matter. Rest from the fruitless pursuits that can captivate us. John 8:36. The Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Not slaved, enslaved to some substance. It captivates you because you think it's going to give you relief, and it does for 32 seconds, and you need another one. Slavery, freedom. The Son of Man makes you free. You're free. Freedom, rest from the burden of sin and death. We've talked about that, and you can look at Hebrews 2:14 and 15 again with me just as a reminder there. The children have partaken of flesh and blood. He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Freedom from fear. There's nothing to fear in Christ because He has paid it all. He died. He went ahead. He promised to come and get us. He promised we will be with Him forever. Freedom in Christ, real rest. Rest because life is all about God. I like the way Peter says it, to Him be the glory. Now and forever. Amen. What else would you say after that? To Him be the glory, now and forever. That's where rest is today for you. If rest has seemed elusive to you today, I want you to think about that. what have you been seeking? What have you been doing? What kind of things captivate your heart and motivate you and drive you that you want, that you think will give you rest, but it hasn't delivered? Why is that? It's because rest is only found in Jesus. Rest is only found in a life that, first of all, has realized the depth and depravity of your own heart and said to Him, God, I'm a sinner. I need You in my life. Save me. I need You. Please save me. A redeemed person who then takes 2 Corinthians 5:14 as not an add-on thing that some really spiritual people do, but a normal thing for any person that claims to have Jesus Christ as their Savior. He died for me. I live for Him. You will find an experience that is foreign to you if you're struggling with rest. That's where true peace is. Trusting in the living God, seeing His work in your life, growing in knowing Him, getting your significance from Him, living and fulfilling your purpose in Him, letting Him rule you, letting His Word be the guiding force of your life, letting His Spirit transform you from the inside out as your desires become God's desires, seeing your problems, the trials and things through new eyes, experiencing the relationships in your life in a different way, that it's not all about you. You can minister to those people that are mean to you. What did Jesus do? That's rest. That's the only place that you're going to find rest for your soul. Now, in this passage, just as we finish up here, there are some warnings for us today. I think they're significant. Verse 1, again, the whole book of Hebrews, there's these things peppered in throughout here. There's these Old Testament allusions and there's these therefores. There's just a ton of them in here. He says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Did you notice that in here where he says, if Joshua had given them rest? We're not talking about just the rebels, right? Certainly just the rebels got no rest because God said, you can't enter my rest. You can't even have the picture of what I'm going to do in Jesus. You can't even have that. You can't have the promised land. But then Joshua went and they took over a great portion of what God had told them to do. They occupied it. They didn't, you know, they weren't all that obedient. They didn't do everything God told them to do and they fell away. But they did enter. But Joshua did not give them rest. And this warning comes to us then, because this is a future rest. This is Jesus. Since there remains a promise of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. This is another theme that is all throughout the book of Hebrews. And we'll spend some time in future weeks here, I think it's in a couple months, but talking about what He's really talking about there. And I'm excited about that. But just for today, just think about it. Let us fear lest we come short of God's rest, just like they did. How did they come short? They didn't trust God. They didn't trust God. Do you know what is at the root of all of the unrest in your life? You know what it is? You're not going to think I'm mean, are you? So I'm not telling. Just, you got a problem with the Scriptures. God's not enough. Here's a promised land for you. Oh, God, You're not enough. Here's my way of life for you. It's totally counter to your culture. It's totally against your own will. It's totally against the way that you would sure like to do it. But you've been living that way for a while. How's that working for you? God, I'm in turmoil. You know why? Because you don't believe that I'm enough for you. Trusting Jesus, that what He says about Himself is true. You can really experience, through faith, a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can really have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can really know the joy that is unobtainable through any of the pursuits that we try to get that joy. You can know pleasure, unexplainable. When you're seeking all this pleasure in the things of the world, it leaves you empty, leaves you unfulfilled. It lasts 32 seconds, then it's gone, then you need more. There's real pleasure in Jesus. You can know those things. Let us fear lest we continue in the same kind of unbelief that the 10 spies did. Lest we say that God is not enough in our own life. Let us fear. Think about it like this as we close. God gave them an opportunity for rest. They rejected it because they still wanted, you know, all the stuff that they wanted. And there's a lot we talk about there. We just won't. That was more important. You know, the things that they want are more important to them than living for and serving, pleasing the living God. But God gave them an opportunity. Here comes the people of Israel back to where we started. They're in Egypt. They see all of God's wonderful works all this time. He brings them up to the edge of the promised land, and he says to them, go spy out the land. I want you to check it out. I want you to see what I've prepared for you, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to demonstrate faith. Because you're going to see some things that are going to be difficult. There's going to be some giants in there. There's going to be some strong cities in there. There's going to be people that are warlike in there. And you're going to have to make a decision. They came up on the edge of that promised land. They looked in there, and they said, no way. God isn't enough. I'm just going to stick over here, whatever. Why I can't do it? Why didn't you kill us? And all that complaining, John. There is a rest yet for the people of God. It's just like that. But did you know you have to enter that rest just like they did? You do. You're not a robot as far as I know. Could be some robots here today. That'd be a different topic, right? Infiltrating robots in the church. Could be. Could happen. Probably a website about that somewhere. You have a choice today to enter God's rest or not. He's not going to force you. He didn't tell them, hey, giants are nothing to me. I'm pushing you on in. Get in there. Have some faith. Come on, people. He said, fine, I'm not enough. You don't want me. You can't have me. He's given you the same choice today, whether to enter his rest or to stay in the turmoil and the emptiness, still seeking the things that you've tried and tried and tried and tried to do to find some kind of relief and peace in this life, and it's not going to work. And let us fear, because we don't want to keep testing God and pushing the limits and saying, well, I'm not worried about that because sometime in my life I'll do the right thing or whatever. I'm just going to live for myself now. God said to them when they rejected him the first time, you're a bunch of rebels. You're not going to enter my rest. Let us fear when we see things like that. There's a rest for you. There's a wonderful benefit waiting for you. But there's a terrible consequence. Do you want to live the rest of your life in the desert? You have to enter his rest. And the rest, again, is trusting Jesus. As you look at verses 9 through 11, there remains a rest for the people of God. He who has entered his rest has ceased from his work as God did. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. That was not trusting God. The rest for you today is to trust Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Trust him in your life. Trust the circumstances that he lets in and respond to him by faith, obeying his word, saying yes to him, making much of him, living for him, loving him, letting him be Lord and King of your life. That is where you will find rest for your souls. Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? You can trust him with everything? Do you believe that Jesus' way, his life for you, is superior? You're not going to find rest anywhere else. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. That's the rest you can have. It's real rest. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we just want to pray and confess your graciousness to us. We also have to say that we know in our hearts that we are not different than those unbelieving Israelites. that you have chosen to give us a measure of grace and give us this chance to respond to you today. We can still enter your rest. Their example to us is that today is the day not to harden your heart. Today is the day to enter your rest. Today is the day to love and respond to you in faith. God, work in us. We're insufficient for such wonderful things. Yet we know, we understand that there's some responsibility that we have to respond, to turn to you, to say yes to you. Oh God, that you would bring conviction where conviction is due. That you would stir us up with passionate zeal and holy affection for you, even as we think about your greatness and your merciful love and grace. God, that we would together find this rest and testify of it often. That the joy of our heart would be the overflow of our soul that is at rest with you, because you are our God. You are everything. You are the point of our life. You are the purpose of our existence. Your view of us is what matters in our life. And that you are our Father and we are your dear children. We have an eternity with you of this blissful peace and joy. God, might we enter that rest today. In Jesus' name.